Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown. And the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Some people like Chris Emma.
We both are like that. We both like Chris Emma quite a bit. Okay.
I mean, it's a day-to-day thing with Emma and I think.
I personally like Chris Emma every day.
You do. You were just saying nice things about him.
He's a good man and thorough. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. He has been in Halas Hall while minicamp has been going on. And look, for the most part, I got Grody here. The Grody Bear is right there. Bear. The Emma Bear is right there.
Bear.
I got both of our Bears guys here.
Bears.
I'm just going to move out of the way. Groats, all you.
What's going on out there, Emma?
Boys, how we doing? Yeah, school's out for summer, more or less, here at Halas Hall. The Bears wrapped up veteran minicamp, which means they wrapped up their offseason in earnest. And while there's still OTA work next week, we'll get to that in a bit, the veterans are out the door, and onward we go, about 6 or 7 weeks until training camp begins, and that's when the action really picks up. But a very productive nearly 2 months of work here at Halas Hall for Ben Johnson's first offseason program. They left feeling really good. So let's get right to it. We got a lot to unpack. Here's Ben Johnson talking about what they accomplished in this offseason program.
Yeah. We've set out goals and objectives for phase one, phase two, and phase three. And we circled back on what those were for phase three this morning as a group. And we felt pretty good about what we've been able to accomplish. The onus is on our players now to take advantage of the next 6 weeks. They've built a lot of goodwill with their bodies, conditioning-wise, that they're strong. We've got a number of guys that lost fat mass and gained lean mass and in great shape right now, and we got to continue that trend, not just to maintain, but even keep pushing that a little bit further, because for us, training camp's not a get-in-shape camp. It's show-up-in-shape camp, and so we can become a good football team.
How would you evaluate the job that you and your coaching staff did in this first week?
Well, I'm critical of myself. The practice was probably, it can be a little bit smoother in terms of how we function. I need to communicate to everyone a little bit better, whether it's the coaching staff, the equipment staff. I'm going to get better there. I'll do a better job once we get to camp. But I was really impressed with the entire coaching staff. I mean, we've got the right mix of guys, experience, youth, energy, ideas. It's coming together. And And I hope our players have really understood. It's hard to gain trust in such a short period of time, but hopefully they understand that our guys mean business. This coaching staff means business. They know what good football looks like. They know what winning football looks like, and they're committed to bringing that here.
You know, what I hear there, Emma, is Ben Johnson setting the template. Like, this is what we want to set a certain standard, which is not necessarily unique to teams at this time of the year, but more than ever relative to last year, more than ever relative to this coach that they have hired. And it just reminds me of one of my main takeaways, Chris, from what I saw at OTAs, is that it looks similar. The players look similar. The play on the field looks similar, but things sound different. The coaches sound different. There's a different message. There's a different voice. There's literally a louder voice that seems to exist. There seems to be that these coaches are in unison. And to be clear, what I mean when I say it looks similar, look, most of what I've seen with my own eyes, Chris, and you can back me up or take the other side of this, it's like pretty typical of what we saw last year with Caleb Williams and even Williams' predecessors, where the defense looks a little better than the offense right now. And occasionally, like yesterday, we saw some really cool things out of Caleb Williams. So it looks similar on the field, but things sound different. What do you think about that?
I completely agree, Mark. And look, I feel like I'm noticing the coaching more than I have in the past. And maybe it's just because it's a new staff and I'm paying closer attention, but also they're louder. They're more present. You feel them a lot more out there.
It's true.
And I think that's going to ring much more true once we get into training camp and the pads are popping and the intensity's up a few more notches. And I think those voices will get even louder. And look, it's a really good coaching staff Ben Johnson put together. And he said it proudly back in February. He said, "I did not hire my friends." And that's true. But he hired a lot of guys who are very similarly driven to him, guys who are demanding, who are tough, who are detail-oriented. And he sought out qualities. And a lot of guys he's never worked with, Eric Bieniemy, he's never worked with. But they're very like-minded in their style of coaching and working with these guys. And you feel that a lot more here out on the field than Alice Hall.
What's his teaching style like?
I found this one fascinating. We got to hear from Tyson Bagent today, and he was asked about, he just talked about a lot, which we're going to get to more on that, but he was asked about Ben Johnson and his coaching style, and we're going to get right into it. Here's Tyson Bagent on Ben Johnson.
I like how thorough he is. I think that he can go down the rabbit hole of every situation in football with every position in football, which I think has been most impressive. Usually you get an offensive-minded guy or a defensive-minded guy at the helm of the team, and I think obviously he is an offensive guy, but you can kind of see him going down the rabbit hole with the defense and team meanings of, you know, what he's expecting on the defensive side of the ball. And really the most impressive thing is when he does that, he speaks that same language that the defense is speaking. So that's been what I've noticed with the O-line. He can, you know, he's about as good of a position coach as every position coach that's on our team. So I think that'll do wonders for us going down the line, just because, you know, it's very crystal clear, the expectations at every position.
Well, I would say all coaches, you know, and it's always interesting if you have an offensive guy, how much time is he going to spend with the defense? And we went through that whole thing with Matt Eberflus, where they love to give the appearance that he was doing more with the offense than he actually was. So I don't know if I necessarily want to hear about Ben Johnson. Of course, you want him to be a complete coach and be in charge of all of the different phases of the team. But I'm pretty comfortable with Dennis Allen taking it over. It worked pretty well in 2018 when Vic Fangio was here and Matt Nagy was just like, "You take care of the defense." So that's nice to hear, Chris, but I don't know if I need to hear that.
Well, I'm going to give a counterpoint here because Ben Johnson's resume is deep. He was a tight ends coach. He was an assistant quarterbacks coach, tight ends coach, again, assistant wide receivers coach, tight ends coach, passing game coordinators, worked running backs before. He's got a very diverse background in offensive coaching. And when you hear he's as good as our position coaches are in terms of coaching those positions, like, that's genuine. He's coached those positions before. He knows what he wants to cater for his scheme. He knows exactly the qualities he seeks in building out this offense, but he also knows a way to relate to these players. And a lot of these coaches have been around the block for a number of years and kind of lost their way in terms of coaching positions. I take that as genuine. I really believe that he can get through to these players at their respective position groups the way that these assistants can. And it goes back to the original point we just made, which is that Ben Johnson is very locked in and like-minded with a lot of these coaches. So I think it's similar when Ben steps into the running backs room or to the wide receivers room, and they are speaking the same language. For the defensive side, if he's in the linebackers room, the D-line room, he's able to relate to these players and address what they need for the day-to-day the same way that their assistants are.
Is Tyson Bagent competing for second string, or is he the guy?
I'm fascinated by that one. I don't have a great answer for you right now. And that's something I want to circle back on kind of mentally once we get to training camp. They really value Tyson Bagent a lot in this building, and they value Case Keenum quite a bit.
Yeah.
And Case Keenum's not going anywhere. I think Tyson, in some form, they'll probably carry three quarterbacks. I think it's also possible where you get into July and August and one of those quarterbacks around the league goes down and they're going to miss a good portion of the season. Like, Ryan Poles' phone going to be buzzing about Tyson Bagent. Like, that's a guy who can get a team that's trying to compete this year. He can lead them to wins. And I think that would be an appealing option for the Bears. And I think he's proven that he can be a starter in this league. It's just not going to be with this team. The Bears have their starting quarterback in place. So I'm sure Tyson would absolutely embrace that. And he said, I'm going to compete my butt off out there as if I'm going to be the number two. And that's just the way he's wired. But look, they signed Case Keenum for a reason. It's to be a capable backup, of course, but also a sounding board in that quarterback's room. And they really value that a ton, too.
What other offensive players talk today?
We get to hear from second-year wide receiver Roma Dunze. And he's a guy, when we talk about the Ben Johnson effect and getting the most out of players, there's a lot of different ways you can go, obviously starting with the quarterback, Caleb Williams. I think a lot about Roma Dunze. His rookie year felt incomplete in a lot of ways and not at all to his fault. Like, he did everything he could to be successful out there, and that offense was dysfunctional around him, and there's a lot of reasons why he didn't pop off as a rookie. I think Roma Dunze is going to pop off in his second year, and I think Ben Johnson is going to get the most out of him. We got to hear from Roma Dunze right now, the effect of this offense with Ben Johnson and what he sees in Caleb Williams. So here's Rome.
What can it do for me? I mean, it's an explosive offense. I think Ben and crew have great offensive minds. So I feel like, you know, they can help put me in positions to succeed. And, you know, that's all I can ask for. But at the end of the day, you know, I got to go out there and make the plays and get the job done regardless. So I think, you know, it's something that is a dual relationship in that fact. And we both kind of have to come together to make that happen. But I feel like it's brewing for sure.
You've been alongside Caleb ever since, even before the draft. What have you seen in his game that struck you, the differences in the growth at this point?
I think he's continued to grow. I didn't play quarterback at a high level in college. I played when I was like six, so there wasn't many reads and 600-pound linemen running at me full speed, or eight different reads, or, you know, different coverages. So, you know, I'm not necessarily an expert on quarterback play, but he's continued to grow from what I've seen and make strides and continue to pour into his profession and his craft. And from my perspective, that's all I can ask for.
You know, I'm gonna jump right in on that line of questioning that you had for Roma Dunze, Chris. It was a really good question about Caleb Williams and, you know, what he's seen in terms of his growth. What kind of growth do we have to see from Caleb Williams? At what point, I should say, should we start to see discernible difference from the quarterback where you and I are doing reports during training camp and we're like, it's just another great Caleb Williams day? Is that in training camp? Is it during the – is it the fifth or sixth game of the season to give Ben Johnson time? Like, where are we with when we should expect to see Caleb Williams be what a lot of people think he can be, and that is at least a good quarterback and maybe a great quarterback?
I think the fair answer is probably somewhere early in the season. But look, I'm sick of waiting on Bears quarterbacks and what we've dealt with for year after year in terms of, well, it's the second year, but it's a new coaching staff. Let's be patient. Let's keep kicking the goalposts away. Like, Caleb Williams can handle this. I really believe he's going to be great for this team. And I want to see those days in training camp where the offense is taken into the defense, where
right,
Caleb is the reason why they're driving downfield. you and I and everybody who's covered this team has seen day after day in training camp where defense had the edge. Defense had the edge. Man, those quarterbacks struggling. Well, you know, Mitch is in his second year, but he's now working with Matt Nagy. Justin's in his second year, but he's working with Matt. You're like, I don't want the excuses anymore. I don't think Ben Johnson cares for the excuses, yeah. Frankly. Like, they believe in this kid, and I think Caleb Sir Williams certainly believes in himself. Where I want to see this thing take off. I want to see them ahead of schedule, where the offense is really dictating these practices, and I'm going to see the offense keep winning these days. We've seen flashes and really encouraging signs so far in this offseason program from Caleb Williams. There's good and bad still, and it's going to be a mixed bag at this point, but I want to see it in training camp. Caleb had a throw today in a red zone drill where he split two defenders, hit Rome Odunze in a tight window. It's like, man, that's an impressive throw. And then the next drill, he was rolling out, and he probably could have scrambled. I think he would have in a game, but he decided to test a throw, and he threw just a terrible pass right to Tyreek Stevenson. Like, there's going to be those moments. Ben Johnson could diagnose it immediately. I'm going to take a guess that it was Caleb just trying to get the ball out, because scrambling in a practice drill in June doesn't help anybody. But there's going to be this mixed bag moment still, those drills that are good and bad for him. I want to see consistently strong performances from this offense. And frankly, I just don't think that's unreasonable to expect.
Emma, when it comes to Ben Johnson, a lot of people will look at the creativity, the trick plays. How did this Bears offense get to some of those trick plays?
I'll take you through my vantage point today. As you watch the stretching of one field, and they kind of break out and go different ways. And usually they go from that to individual drills, and the running backs are with the Eric Bieniemy and whatnot. Move to the other field, and I see Caleb Williams dropping back, unleashes a tight spiral down the sidelines. And on the other end of that was Theo Benedict, the Canadian Eagle.
Oh, yes.
And I was kind of like, what's going on here? And then I look at it, and it's Tyson Bajan dropping back, and he's throwing a pass to Darnell Wright. This is what they were doing. They busted off the old bag of tricks that we saw so much in Detroit from Ben Johnson. It was quarterbacks throwing to offensive linemen. It was running backs throwing to wide receivers. It was running backs catching passes downfield. It was quarterbacks. It was Caleb Williams catching a deep ball downfield from, I think it was Ian Wheeler. We saw Case Keenum make an outstanding catch. Darnell Wright with a one-handed grab.
What?
So you got to see Ben Johnson testing these guys, and he let out a wry smile saying, like, we're testing out where you got some toys to work with here. But he also said, look, I'll let Ben Johnson say it. Here's Ben Johnson on the bag of tricks today.
Yeah, I mean, I let those guys know. We only do this once a year, and it's an evaluation. And we'll circle back in training camp and end the season to see who we can trust to catch the ball or throw the ball. And I think there's a couple guys on the O-line that stood out, and then Case Keenum might have made the catch of the day, you know, behind the back about 50 yards down the field. So I think we got some toys to work with.
Did you see Darnell Wright's one-handed?
Oh, I did. I did.
I think somebody have we asked him yet, Emma, about his awful Penny Sewell play that he tried to run against the Bears, and the Bears,
they were ready for
stood him up. They were ready. Have we asked him about that yet?
We've not. We asked him about Stumblebum in the opening press conference, not about the Penny Sewell play. But my fun fact with that is that was Austin Booker's first career sack, and it came on Penny Sewell. So we've not gone to that. You can save that one for training camp when you ask Ben Johnson, Mark.
When is Tyson Bajan's birthday? Because mine is tomorrow.
Happy early birthday, Lawrence. Tyson Bajan's birthday is Sunday. And hand up, I was not aware of this, but somebody in our media group was. And if you've heard Tyson talk, you know he is a fun one. He's entertaining. Here's Tyson Bajan on his upcoming birthday.
We're saving that for my buddy's birthday, June 19th. But me and my sister will be having a pool party. Rented out the local water park. So 200-person limit. Let's roll.
What's the best attraction at the water park?
Oh, this is in Martinsburg, West Virginia. There is one diving board and one slide.
You got to stop at Betty's before you go to the water park? Or that?
Nah, we'll save that for the next morning. Hopefully we have a good enough night and Betty's will be right on time.
And then, bro, we're going to do 500 burpees.
You better believe there's going to be a whole bunch of burpees going on.
That's what I'm picturing. Like, everybody's, all right, before everybody gets in the pool, 500 burpees. That's a minimum before you get on that slide.
You want to make sure that six-pack looks right.
My absolute face off.
That's right, baby T. He was doing that. He's getting himself ready with a little bit of CrossFit. Get those kettlebells going out there.
And it was absolutely Mark Carmen who was obsessing with these questions. Yes, Chris Emma, right?
That was, and yes, that was him asking about Betty's, which is a diner outside of Tyson's hometown in West Virginia. And I looked it up. It looks like a lovely place. I can't say that I've ever been there before, but Tyson is hoping that
Emma,
the night goes well, they'll go straight from his party.
You're such a nice person. Tyson told us it's not a nice place. Like, inside that cut, he told you, is one slide and one diving board.
One
it's
whiskey.
Not a nice place.
No, the water park's a joke, apparently, but the park itself, the plan to go to the water park is not a joke. That's very real. But their goal is to take the party into the night and into the early morning and go to Betty's, which is a diner in Shepherdstown, Pennsylvania, West Virginia.
Party, party, party. Everybody's partying, man.
Are there any nuggets and or tidbits?
Yes.
Plenty. We got plenty. We'll start with the attendance. Jalen Johnson was not present again today.
What?
Excuse absence, as Ben Johnson said. Kyler Gordon, Colson Loveland, Luther Burden were among those not practicing. Andrew Billings, remember last year during training camp, we heard about Caleb Williams' cadence, and Andrew Billings was drawing them off sides with hard counts. Andrew Billings did some follow-up today, said that Caleb Williams' cadence is now drawing defensive linemen offside. Mm. So that's come back around the other way. I'm glad we're back on the cadence train here.
Yeah.
Back to Tyson Bagent. He now has a buzz cut, was asked about cutting off the flow, said with one of many expletives today, I was tired of that stuff. Let's say stuff. Also said he's happy to be confused with Pete Crow Armstrong, saying he's glad that PCA is doing well. The Bears will hold three practices for OTAs next week. Rookies are required to attend. Veterans are invited to attend. I would imagine most of them will not be there. Ruben Unse said he will be present. Caleb Williams, it's not clear whether he will participate. Training camp starts up in late July. We don't have a formal date. I would pencil in around June or July 24th. That's a Thursday for either report day or first day of camp.
Dunzo.
You know what? I didn't think of it until Emma said it, but with a buzz cut,
no, I see it.
Yeah.
And I could totally see those two like being burpee bros. Like completely. I could see PCA being like, yeah, sick, man. I'm going to Bajan's party in West Virginia. So apparently there's a sick slide at this pool, so I could see it.
Diving board and a slide, that's it. Throw the blue stars in Tyson Bajan's hair like PCA and you really got something going.
He isn't, you know, I gotta say, and I know we're out of time here, but Tyson Bajan continues to be an interesting character.
No
like,
doubt.
He really is. And I still don't know how good he is or if he'll ever actually get to like run off like a season's worth of starts because of injury, because it happens in the NFL. But this continues to be the most confident man in that locker room.
Would Tyson Bagent start in Cleveland?
Oh, wow. He'd definitely have a shot at it.
Right?
I think in that room, I think he could in New York as well with the Russ and Jameis and whatever mix there. I think he's the best quarterback in that mix too.
Yeah, man. I think Flacco is his greatest contender right now. Like if he was dropped into that quarterback room right now, wouldn't it be Flacco v. Bagent at
yeah,
this point?
Yeah, you would think that would be it with the idea of being by the end of the year, Shador.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I fully think Shador is going to be it just because of the public pressure, if nothing else. Or maybe they see something in him. I don't know.
Emma, great job with the Bears hit. Two words today. We appreciate you.
Two words. Bye, Emma.
Take care.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
I wouldn't say a fresh start. I would just say some of the guys come out with the same mentality. We add some pieces in, add some dogs, and now, you know, it's time to hunt now.
He said that he hasn't really talked to you about the Hail Mary play last year. Has Al Harris or any of the new coaches been like, so what happened?
There's really no conversation need to be had. I owned it. It was a mistake. I just happened to play a sport where my mistake is just national televised, and I feel like talking to me and going through the meetings, they can see that I already owned it up to it. And, you know, I owe the guys from last year nothing but effort and myself, and they see that I'm putting it in. So there's really no conversation need to be had.
That's Tyreek Stevenson yesterday at Halas Hall. Do you view the new coaching staff and change of administration a reclamation opportunity for Tyreek Stevenson? Can he really put the failed Mary behind him and get back to his career? Or is that the kind of play that ruined a season that will follow a gut? Huh? What are your expectations from him this season?
He approached it the only way he can. You cannot let one play define your career. It already defined the Bears' season. They let that happen after his unforgivable error in judgment in the Fail Mary game against the Commanders. It'll be talked about a lot. It should be put in the past. He's got a new opportunity. He is a reclamation project. This is his career. The Bears can benefit from that because he's got something to prove. Al Harris's arrival comes at a good time for Tyreek Stevenson. Because Al Harris is the guy that he visited with the Cowboys during his pre-draft visits at the University of Miami. They had a good rapport, and he skipped the rest of his visit in the tour of the facility, as he was saying yesterday, to spend more time with Al Harris. That's good, because his chemistry with the previous coaching staff, especially in the secondary, wasn't good. And there wasn't a good connection there. So Tyreek Stevenson starts fresh in Dennis Allen's defense, which asks cornerbacks to play aggressively, more man coverage, and probably plays to his strengths more than we think. So I liked what I heard from him, but with Tyreek Stevenson, it won't be the words. Enough talking already. We love that he talks, but he's going to have to prove it and to sway people with his actions. He's going to have to play lockdown defense. He's going to be the guy getting a lot of attention because of Jalen Johnson will be guy they avoid. Quarterbacks will not want to throw at number one. By the way, where was number one at practice yesterday? Excused absence. Excused absence, right?
Just as long as I didn't bring it up, because, you know, geez. So he supposedly couldn't make the... Yeah, what was that sentence?
So remember, the question's about Tyreek Stevenson.
Okay, I'm also going to call a bit of... So nobody on this, if nobody on this new staff, including the new head ball coach, has talked to him directly about this, I think that's a mistake. I think that's a mistake. So I'm not going to believe that no conversation was needed. He might think no conversation is needed, but I think there was a conversation needed, and I would be shocked if no conversation was had. Maybe not directly, but I would be shocked if the failed Mary, Hail Mary, whichever way you look at it, that wasn't addressed at some team meeting about how you got to move on. You guys didn't move on. We've got to flush that. That thing cannot linger anymore. That thing is now gone, because that thing definitely ruined their season. That play ruined. They could not get over that play. They couldn't. They talked about it. We asked them to talk about it. They couldn't get over it. It stuck around. It lingered. I hope it works out. I mean, I want the Bears to be good.
Yeah, you know, I that play, that wasn't a small mistake that only happened because you're on a publicly televised sport. That was like a lot worse. That was a really horrible, I'll call it an incident. I mean, it just wasn't a simple mistake. You just lost your mind and you had this terrible thing that went on and you did the wrong thing and the guy you were supposed to. I mean, we can go over it 1,000 times and we have, but that was a big deal. And that follows you. That does. You know, that ruined careers. You know, there are people that are unemployed as a result of that. And I don't know. I don't know that this is a reclamation opportunity. I think everybody, every coach on that staff, whether they say something to him or not, knows exactly what went on with that play. Everybody on the team, every player that was here a year ago, even guys that weren't, knows exactly what happened on that play. And I think that the player himself knows what went wrong and what happened. I don't think it has to end his career, but, you know, you get a couple of mistakes like that, pal, and you got no hope at all.
I can't believe that Al Harris, as accountable as he holds players,
yes,
and as comfortable as he is with Tyreek Stevenson, has not talked about that. Mm. And I think has not taught him or shared with him ways to process, ways to never forget and never let that happen again, and ways to move on in ways that he has to.
And the reality is, whether he wants to accept it or not, it is not over. He did not apologize and react well to it. He got punished, and he walked off the field as a result of that punishment. I mean, listen, he's one mistake away, if you're being brutally honest about it. And that's not just a mistake. I'm saying, if you do something like that again, you can't play.
It's time to move on.
I totally agree it's time to move on. I totally agree. But just so we all understand, you are on double secret probation, and it's never going to be forgotten.
Not so secret.
So, yeah, yeah.
It's so, publicly televised.
There you go. But I mean, that's all you can do is what he did yesterday and say you're moving on and all the rest of it. But I'm just saying. I'm not saying. I'm only saying that everybody knows every little detail of all of it. And, you know, here's hoping. I really want to see the kid do well. I hope that they found a coach that can really impact him, and I think he's needed in this defense, and I think he can do some things in this defense, but we're going to have to see it unfold. It's as simple as that.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm not sure how it's going to play out. I know it's going to be a very competitive training camp and offseason. And I know that at the end of the day, whatever best five come out of that are going to be the guys that are going to start for us. But as you know, trust me, as we know around here for the last 3 years, we've been going through a lot of different rotations and a lot of different people. So to have guys that are going to be reliable and dependable as things happen throughout the season is a good place. We want that depth. I think now those guys have really good role models and vets ahead of them to learn how to play this game at a high level.
So have they called you yet?
Nobody calls me, man.
But apparently that's not the case. I believe Olin is on an episode of 1920 Football Drive.
No!
Am I right, Tanny? Because I know that you love that.
That's
serious.
Correct. Well, yeah, it's down the dial now, you know, so they called him at least. Big Jeff and Big Tom called him.
Oh, okay.
You know?
So 1920 Football Drive, a production of the Bears.
Yes, it is a Bears production. So in that regard, yes, like the Bears have contacted Olin Cruz, which makes me happy.
Yes. It makes me happy, too, because if you have someone like that available,
sure,
who is willing to give you information,
uh-huh,
you should talk to that person.
I agree, but like so what do you think? Did he work an hour for them to do that episode? Maybe they gave him $15, you know?
This is what I mean. Like
what?
Adjust for inflation at least.
1880.
We're going to ruin his chances of getting a call back.
That's why this is. See, Alex, you get me. What? This is the thing where it's like,
come on,
this
Lawrence.
Is Speaks jumping out the boat again.
Come
just jumping out.
Come with me into the boat.
No, especially not against that guy.
It's not against that guy.
He's like my favorite.
It's against that team.
I'm not. It's against that team. I'm going after. See, that's the thing. Sometimes
they offered me $15 an hour to come in there as like an independent contractor. That is exactly what they did.
I am insulted on Olin's behalf for how the Bears treated him. And good. I am out here.
You're outraged.
I am outraged, and I'm fighting the good fight with one snarky joke at a time.
All right. That's our guy.
Anyway, like, so there's this whole philosophy about offensive line in terms of, like, what are the offensive linemen thinking about? Are they lunging out and attacking and grabbing their man or pushing their man to dictate momentum and dictate what the offense is trying to do? Or are they backpedaling and waiting to kind of receive the attack and the momentum from the defensive line?
And it depends on what the play call is. It depends on what your strategy is against a specific pass rusher. Like if there's a guy who will run himself out of the play, maybe you don't have to engage him. You can escort him. Yep. You make him run the bubble and escort him out of the play. But I immediately thought of Olin when we were going over the Ben Johnson stuff. And for those of you, it may have slipped past some people, to tell you the truth, because most of the time we're not, especially this time of year, because it's not guys in pads. It's there's no real contact that's going on.
But there's concepts being discussed.
Philosophy of what you want things to be. So you turn your, whether you're listening on the Odyssey app or you're in your car, turn it up a little bit. And you let us know what you hear when you hear Ben Johnson talking about the philosophy that he wants at the tackle position and the offensive line overall.
Yeah, it's an ongoing process. Hard to jump to any conclusions just yet, especially at that position where you really can't be judged until you got pads on. And so both guys are taking turns and they're making the most of their opportunities. I think the head's still spinning for almost everybody on offense, but certainly in the O-line room. We got a lot of new things we're throwing at them. Coach Roshar and Coach Devan and Coach Cable, they're
They're doing fantastic jobs, coached them up, and they're on them constantly throughout practice. So the cool thing to see is Ozzie, for a guy that's a young player, he's really polished in terms of the mental aspect of the game. We're looking to key up some things, quicken up his steps, his identification process, and Karan's done a nice job just for the little bit that we had him as well, just the growth prospect. So far, so good.
Is there something specific that you're looking for to say for a guy that he's taken a hold of his job? This is now his job, and it's somebody else's to try.
I always go back. To me, the number one job of an offensive tackle, doesn't matter right or left, is to pass protect. And so you need to be able to block their best pass rusher one-on-one. And that's the number one job. And everything we can get out of them in the run game will be gravy on top of it. But we got to find out who the best pass protector is, the most consistent pass protector is. And really, that's for all five guys up front.
I know things can change over the course of the next couple of months with the offensive line. But what does it feel like for you having, seems like, four other spots effectively solidified and just being able to zero in on that left tackle spot?
Yeah, we feel good about the rest of them gelling together. And that's really what it comes down to, is they have to spend time as a unit over and over and over again. And game one, we're going to be far from a finished product. And hopefully by the time we get through the bye week, we'll start seeing some of these guys come together and really gel as a unit. I think as a whole, because it's a new offense and it's a lot of new, it doesn't matter if you're Joe Tooney and you've been playing for 10 plus years or you're one of these young people that we're talking about. We have to coach them all the same right now. So it's not like we can just concentrate on one spot and that battle. It's really the whole unit and the depth behind it as well. We've talked about, I think, consistently through the springtime, 8, 9, even 10 linemen are going to be called upon at some point this year.
So that was Ben Johnson talking about the tackle position, because he was asked about whether it's Karan Amagaji or Ozzie Trapillo that kind of has a leg up. And it's hard to know because they're not really doing anything but walking through some of this stuff. And you need usually the linemen to make a real assessment. And even that assessment can be wrong in training camp, is that it's live for them. This isn't that in mini camp. But the thing that stood out to me, and I'll leave it to you, Speaks. Oh, anything stand out?
Well, I actually feel better about it in context than I do as a poll quote. Like, listening to it here and thinking about what he said about the tackle, the number one job for the tackle is to be able to block their best pass rusher. And everything else is gravy. The everything else is gravy part's a little scary.
Everything else is gravy. That scares me.
The number one job of an offensive tackle, doesn't matter right or left, is to pass protect. And so you need to be able to block their best pass rusher one-on-one. And that's the number one job. And everything we can get out of them in the run game will be gravy.
So here's why it doesn't freak me out.
Okay.
In context. Because we know he likes to run the ball and is really good at running the ball. So know that. It's not like this is a guy that just gives lip service to running the ball, like so many offensive coordinators we've seen in the past. This is a guy, they've done it, and he has done it and seems to love it. And this is all about him setting up for what they can do and what they can't do. If either offensive tackle is clearly a guy that can't block your best pass rusher, that exposes you tremendously to the defense and limits you, Lawrence. That's exactly it. If they know that you have to give help on either side, then you're not going to be able to scheme all the creativity and the different looks and the confusion you are trying to scheme. You have to be confident that you can block their best pass rusher one-on-one with either tackle. And they need to think you are confident that you can do that in order for you to then use your one tight end or your two tight ends, your move guys, and create all your things. So he's got to make sure that both of his guys give him the confidence to be able to block the best pass rusher, or else he's not going to be able to run the offense he wants to run.
I think that your argument is completely logical. I get that his offense, if you look at it, there's been a good balance, and I'm using air quotes for those that can't see me on Twitch. They run the ball, and their pass game is predicated on the fact that they run the ball because they use so much play action.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of jarring.
For sure jarring. For sure jarring. And maybe you disagree or maybe others disagree, and feel free to text us. But like, now that I hear it and think about it in context, it makes sense to me. And then there's the difference between the tackle and the guards and the center. And our guy Olin, as a center, you know, he always says the further away you are from the football, the further away you get
from football.
Which is hilarious. But, you know, those tackles, man, being exposed on the outside, like, that's got to be, you got to be able to do that, and then you add running game to it. I understand it in terms of the schematics of what an offensive mind has to think about.
What is interesting to me, because in hearing him say that, I kept thinking about what we saw from Amagaji last year, and it really makes sense in that context, where I do think that in space and in the run game, Karan Amagaji's fine. Like, there's even moments, even inside that Vikings game, where I was like, oh, I see what they saw on the tape. But all of that was in the run game.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of it, none of it was in the pass protection aspect of it.
You're right.
So if you really then look at it and you go, if he were an A pass blocker and a C or C minus run blocker, wouldn't you take that? And the answer is yes. Or if you're saying, yeah, he can, if you ask almost any of these guys that make it to this level about their run blocking skills or them in space, of course, a guy who's 6'5" and 360 pounds
mm-hmm.
running out there can be a menace in the open field. But can you be a menace when there's a guy who's lined up on your head whose whole job is to destroy your quarterback?
Exactly. And Amagaji obviously trying to pass protect in Minnesota against a really creative defense with some beasts on the edge on the road, you know, in a primetime game was a difficult ask. But I think it's about the multiplicity and the desire for him to make the same things look different and make different things look the same. I may be paraphrasing exactly how he says it, but you remember what I'm saying. But like, we know that the tight end is so important, and two tight ends is so important.
Well, we heard Cole talking about the 12 personnel as a grouping that they want to be strong.
And I was told flat out after the draft, you know, when your guy Colston Loveland went instead of my guy Tyler Warren, that
I think they're both going
to
be good.
I think so too. But the point is, Colston Loveland, to what you had said before the draft, Ben Johnson can't run his offense without a tight end like that. He needs a tight end like that to run his offense. And you're going to see him move all around, be on one side, be on the other side, be in the slot, maybe be out wide every once in a while. You're going to see him used all over the place. And they need to be able to know and have the defenses know that he doesn't have to be chip help or max protect. He doesn't have to be one of those guys next to either one of these tackles, that both of those tackles are capable.
Yes, Alex?
No, I'm glad you brought up the Amagaji thing, because I was going to ask you, does that quote make you think that Ozzie Trapillo has passed up Karan Amagaji?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Like, far and away at this point.
I think there's a lot of things that go in it. And one of them is one thing about the NFL that I don't like. My guy, your guy thing. Like, he didn't draft Karan Amagaji. He owes him nothing. They clearly looked at the tape of Ozzie Trapillo and were like, hey, that's the type of guy that I want. Whether it's on this side or it's on this side, I want that type of guy. And so it becomes a major uphill battle for Karan Amagaji to impress. And maybe the battle for Amagaji isn't against Trapillo. Maybe it's Amagaji versus a hurt Braxton Jones. Like, I don't know. But
I think it's Amagaji against the practice squad. You know, and I think it's Braxton.
I actually think that would be a really good place for someone like
him. I think that'd be fine. And you might be able to get him there you might not have trouble getting him
but
there.
But having a third rounder end up on your practice squad, and we've seen this movie before with Ryan Poles picks.
I think this ends up Trapillo versus Braxton Jones for a starting tackle spot. And the other is the swing if Braxton ends up healthy. Now, yeah, whether it's the left-right switch, I don't know. I doubt it. You think it's still on the table.
I still think that it's possible that Darnell could find his way over to the left side. But that's stuff that we won't know for a long time.
What we know now is what you and Alex just kind of happened upon. Yeah, I think Ozzie's passed over Amagaji. And frankly, it's a better pedigree. It's not just a my guy and your guy. Like Amagaji had to scuffle for any field time he could get. And when he did get it, it was brutal.
Yeah. And with Amagaji, you are still talking about a guy who played, and this is no disrespect to FCS, but a lower level of football. And then I also don't think that they did a great job of bringing him along. Like I feel like if he were a quarterback, we would really be talking about how unfair it was. But I think that what they asked Amagaji to do, who didn't have any time in training camp because he was hurt, and then when he got healthy, they were like, you know what? Go on out there. Mm-hmm. Great. I get an opportunity to play. Who are we playing? The Vikings in Minnesota. What? So we're going to get the crazy blitz guy?
Yeah.
Like, that's my first on the road?
Yeah, wasn't his brutal. First game action the Washington game in the middle of an island game on the road coming in for, I think it was injured Braxton at the time?
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't that his first game action?
Yeah.
It was, and his first start against Jonathan Grenard.
We should do a top five
with
of
no
the,
help.
The most unfair asks of Bears players in our lifetimes. Like, you know, Justin Fields on the road in Cleveland against Clowney and Miles Garrett.
But I'm sure, like, if we had Olin, he would say, like, oh, it's the NFL. You know, there's no, like, easy way to bring someone in, right?
Yes. But you definitely don't want to bring someone in who didn't have a training camp. And then you're out there saying, yeah, the guy that does all the exotic stuff,
yeah,
he's going to be throwing all of it at you. And we all saw it. Every Bears fan that was tuning in for that game was like, hey, are they going to put a tight end over there?
Mm-hmm.
No? That seems stupid. Quarterback sacked.
I think I think Alexander Canario's first major league at bat was against Camilo Doval of the Giants in the late innings after having sat on the bench for like 4 days.
Now that's really unfair because I haven't heard of any of those people.
Are you saying that my particular brain went to deep baseball stuff in the middle of a heated Bears conversation?
Yeah, but did he come in the middle of like a 2-2 count or something?
And Jadeveon Clowney sacked him right there. He was in the batter's box and Clowney came out of nowhere.
I got to tell you, a couple days ago, I'm sitting at home and Police Squad is on. Oh, the Naked Gun is on.
It's the best.
And I'm just
Naked Gun or Police
Naked Gun.
Gotcha.
And I'm laughing at stuff that I've seen time and time again, and it's still funny when they go through the row of broadcasters, and it's all best. Of our favorite broadcasters.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kurt Gowdy, along with Jim Palmer, Tim McCarver, Dick Vitale, Mel Allen, Dick Emberg, and Dr. Joyce Brothers.
So I'm laughing at all of that. And then they do the video of the wacky plays.
Oh, the wacky plays.
Like any movie, any time, any place, like any scene, jumping in to the baseball scene of Naked Gun is as good as it gets in cinema, period.
Yeah. And I'm literally, as I'm going to the garage, just yelling, that's not an umpire, that's Enrico Palazzo.
Right. And then doesn't the shortstop's going back to try and catch a pop-up and there's a tiger there?
Yeah. There's a guy who loses his head at the wall. A guy gets hit by a car. And that's when you said that, that's immediately what I started thinking of. The guy getting hit by the car. It's like Jadeveon Clowney showing up at a baseball game.
See, and what I thought of was basketball, which actually is a brilliant sport that the South Park guys invented for that movie. Like the collision of baseball and basketball is brilliantly done. And that has another crazy announcers scene.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That has Al Michaels and Bob Costas doing the basketball championship game. And there's
excited. Feel these nipples.
Oh, there is a moment. I got to ask.
Oh, that's good from Gridiron. Dez Clark having the long snap.
That's right. Exactly. That's on the list of unfair asks in our Bears lifetime.
Raheem
and Harris.
Who is calling on our score hotline? It's brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois.
Who calling?
Hey! Ozzy!
It has been very great news to see you got your own show. You earn it. You deserve it. Now you have it.
Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score.
I think that was, you know, just that whole ordeal last year with him and the concussion. From obviously a player and a brother, just looking at him, seeing what he went through, I know that was tough for him. So he's excited. I'm excited to be able to get him back out there. I know he has a lot of plays that he wants to go out there and make this year, and I'm excited to watch him do it.
Bruce Lee brings a lot of energy on the field, off the field. He's just an energetic guy.
We are still talking about Jaquan Brisker's press conference that he had yesterday at Halas Hall as the Bears continue their mandatory minicamp in their offseason program. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. And I understand that people are upset that I brought up the concept of wearing a helmet on a motorcycle.
Hey, man, don't make the people mad, because you know what? They're adults. They're going to do what they want to do. I think the older you get, the more you can understand why wearing a helmet, just from a statistics standpoint, is the smart move. I like this text from 630. Love you both, but we are looking at this from a wiser perspective because we're older. He's still a kid, thinks he's invincible. Kids don't look at life like older adults do. I did stuff as a young man that I wouldn't dream of doing today. And when I look at it now, I'm astonished that I'm still alive. I think most people can say that at some point in their lives.
Which is great. And luck and circumstance and results are all different things. Yeah, that's the issue. And he is putting himself into a situation that has resulted in common results here. Like it resulted in a concussion every single season of his career. Like typically, you say that because you don't want to repeat the process, but this is the man's job. And because of that, he also speaks to the media. Because of that, you know who he is. This is part of the circumstance that he is in. However, the NFL had a multi-million dollar lawsuit that showed that it's not just up to the players. It's not just up to the job you chose. That just like in other trades, there has to be more understanding and more efforts made on the part of the employers to help ensure their safety.
This is like people who want to do workers who want to do away with like the regulatory of OSHA. Like that stuff is there to protect the workers, not the employers, right? You have to understand that and understand where you are on the labor versus the employer type of dynamic, if you will. But I thought for Jaquan Brisker, the thing that he said the most, that this is why I'm concerned, in that before he even spoke, I was like, listen, the Bears can't re-sign him. They can't extend him. They should not. That from a business standpoint of what we know about concussions and the way they work, and that's where I'm coming from on this. I had that opinion before Jaquan Brisker said this about returning to the field.
What does it mean just to be back out there and with your teammates?
I mean, I'm just blessed to play football. You know, it means a lot. Obviously, I love playing football. So just being out there, you know, especially coming from where I'm from, or, you know, just seeing what I've seen, there's so many people who want to be in this position. You know, so many people who just want to be in my shoes. So I'm just blessed, you know, just to be here. And, you know, it means a lot. You know, I don't take it for granted. Never took it for granted even before I got hurt. You know, I always thank God, you know, always thankful to be on the field. You know, always say my prayer at the 50, whatever it may be. I'm really blessed to be here. You know what I mean? So.
Are you curious what it's going to feel like when the pads come on and you have to hit somebody?
No. If you watch out there, I'm not curious. I won't hit right now. So, no, I'm not curious. I mean, I'm playing full speed. I'm going to be a playmaker. Nothing really changes. It's just I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be a lot more mentally focused. My mind is really, like, probably, like, what, 5-6 years new or whatever the doctor said. You know, I did so much work, so I'm really past it. Like, I'm really moving on.
All right, so I understand his resolve.
You get to move on.
I understand his resolve, right? I understand why he has to have the attitude because of the position that he plays in football. He goes out there to be a missile and hit people. He is directing contact. He's not the one being hit. He's the one doing the hitting. So I understand why he can't have kind of an attitude that you might hear from a wide receiver or running back who had suffered the same type of injury as him. But the fact that he's saying it's all behind him, that's what seems to me to be short-sighted, because it's really all in front of him. because it's what happens the next time this happens. And I'm not saying it's going to, but the likelihood, what we know statistically is, the likelihood with each additional concussion, the likelihood that you suffer an additional concussion, increases.
Well, and it's the damage therein. Like, that's part of the issue here. We've talked a lot about second impact syndrome, which is something that when I worked with former Patriots linebacker, Ben, I can't think of his last name right now because I keep wanting to say Teddy Johnson. I keep wanting to say Ben Johnson, which doesn't really apply here. But when I worked with Ted Johnson, like that was something that he discussed, was the significance of like a second impact, that of course being close to your initial concussion hit, and how debilitating that can be. But this is a future that is scary, and it can be prevented, and we can ask these questions. That's the whole point of a press conference. This was a conversation with Jaquan Brisker, and I appreciate him saying he's moved on, but you've gotten a concussion every season you've played in the league. That's just not, unfortunately, what is happening right now.
I understand why he feels like his mentality has to be he's moved on, but I also understand why no one else can move on. Because it is a lingering question. It is not going away. This isn't a pulled hamstring or another, but this is your brain we're talking about. And because we know about the comprehensive way that this thing adds up when you talk about brain injuries. I also want to say this. It seems like Ben Johnson, out of everyone, understands what Ben Johnson is capable of on the football field because he coached against him, Layla. He's a guy who's seen firsthand the type of damage he can do in a game. So he's probably excited to get him back. The question is, I wonder how Ben Johnson feels about the concussion history and how that, between him and Dennis Allen, Al Harris, how that affects how they plan to use him this season.
He was a guy that you had to earmark and just make sure you knew where he was when you game plan against them, because he was very active, particularly in the run game. He liked to come down and fill in the box and played like a linebacker that happened to be a defensive back and not afraid to hit you. So we always told the receivers that they had to make sure they accounted for him. And so can't see that right now without the pads, but you can certainly see an active player that he's excited. He's passionate about the game and he loves playing football. He likes to talk a little bit too, which I appreciate. Well, I mean, everyone's learning, and so if there's any glimpses, little hiccups, it's usually because they're trying to process what they're seeing out in front of them and what the rules of the defense are. And so there's a little bit of that going on, but I can't think of anything out of the ordinary for where he's at, the position he's playing, or his colleagues out there as well.
I want to remind people, Layla, that when Ben Johnson saw Jaquan Brisker as the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator back in 2023, December,
right,
game at Soldier Field, he came out of that game with 17 tackles, 13 of them solo, 2 pass breakups, and a forced fumble. He was doing work in that game. But he did have to leave that game because he got the wind knocked out of him, right. Came back, finished it. And so that's kind of the, if you're Ryan Poles, Ben Johnson, Dennis Allen, you have to measure what he's capable of, but also what the possibilities are when you unleash a talent like that with concussion history.
Well, and that's it. It's not just, unfortunately, we are talking about him as a person first. That's not the unfortunate part. We are talking about him, about how he's a person first, because that's who he is. But unfortunately, there's a football piece to this where you lost your starting safety for 12 games and it hurt your team. You know, the being careful is good for everyone here. And trying to prevent this from happening is good for both the individual because of his health and also the health of the football team. So in order for him to be his best self, what does that mean? It doesn't mean you take more precautions than you used to. We don't see the same hits in the league. I was watching a random promo that was on a tape of something a friend recorded in the early 2000s. We're not talking about 1980s. We're talking about 2001, 2, or 3, somewhere around there. And one of the hits in a random NFL promo was horrifying. And this is just something we consider common practice when watching hits in the NFL at that time. And now it's just something that you wouldn't see. You know, in college football, the targeting rule aimed to try to take away a lot of this. Now, typically that's used when a defender is targeting somebody on the offense. In this case, it was the opposite. And, you know, I understand there was a fine levied on the hit on Brisker against the Panthers that ended up resulting in this. But there's no amount of money that replaces what he's having to deal with right now health-wise. Tommy Tremble leveled that hit. It ended up being over 17 grand. But that's nothing compared to the health of the individual. Would it help prevent these situations happening at times in the future? I hope so. But it is just not as simple to me as, well, he signed up for this. He gets what he deserves. We all sign up for things. But we're allowed to be advocates and talk about health when it matters and what you can do to prevent horrible situations from happening. When somebody else is hurt, it hurts everybody in a way.
He's already kind of a poster child for concussions because of the way it's happened three straight years, right? And knowing that there's going to be a fourth season and a possibility. But when you look at Jaquan Brisker and him coming back from a concussion that cost him the final 12 games of last year, you have to understand where we are going forward and if the Bears are equipped to deal with the loss of Jaquan Brisker. Because you go back to the draft, Layla, remember leading up to it, I was like, listen, they need a lineman, they need a defensive guy, a guy who can get to the quarterback, they need a tight end, and they need a safety. They need a safety. And now you hear about possibly moving around, and Dennis Allen, to his credit, if there's anybody I believe in that can move guys around from position to position, it's Dennis Allen because he has the track record of being able to do so. But I need to know who is his immediate backup and how big the fall off is going to be if you don't have Jaquan Brisker for an extended period of time. Because after last year, the Bears need to be very much prepared for that situation because it is highly likely. I don't like saying that it's highly likely, but it's highly likely. And again, that's the reason I don't believe Jaquan Brisker should be re-signed by the Chicago Bears. And I believe they need to have somebody ready waiting in the wings.
Yeah, I mean, that's the issue. And is it a developmental pick like Frazier, you know, when we talk about in the secondary? I don't think so. Like, the Bears spent significant draft capital on Jaquan Brisker. And he shows you why when he's on. But the problem is, not only from a football standpoint, you have to look at this, but you would also say that the Bears' actions kind of echo what Brisker is telling the media, that they don't think this is as much of a concern roster resource-wise as perhaps we do after hearing what he had to say. Those two things can be separate. But what happens when we're talking about this again? That's what scares me.
Yeah, it's scary from all standpoints because of, again, the way this has played out so far and not knowing what's next for Jaquan Brisker and the Bears. And again, my hope and my thoughts, my prayers, my just sentiment is with him as a person before we even start talking about football. But ultimately, he's a football player on this team, has been cleared to play football, and has every intention of returning to the type of play that we saw him before, or I guess between each of these concussions.
Well, and you know, think about even how we talked about Derrick Rose, and I remember when he got injured, just being so sad for him, but also dealing with the concept of, because of the way he played, that was a possibility. You know, and that's his knees. That's not his brain. That's not him trying to retrain his nervous system.
That's seeing if we can fix your knee. And if you can't, okay, maybe you don't play anymore, but you don't have long-term effects in terms of being able to do normal, comprehensive stuff with your brain.
We got a lot of hit dogs hollering on the text line, that's for sure, don't we?
That's not anything new. I'm used to that.
This is hilarious. Like, very interesting.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Where are you now with the Bears' chances of getting shovels in the ground in line with Kevin Warren's timeline of pre 2026. No bills from the Illinois General Assembly were passed in the so-called mega development legislation that would help freeze property tax assessments, nor were any funds set aside in the $55.2 billion budget bill for any stadium projects. Does that impact Kevin Warren's timeline?
You know, David always jokes on the show about he has exhaustion from or fatigue. What does he call it? Like fatigue of certain things. Like I have stadium fatigue. Like I'm done talking about it. It's on our show on Chicago Sports Network. Clay and I always defer the stadium conversation to David so he can interpret all of the minutiae for us. So I would like to defer to Mully and Dustin for all this. Get the shovel in the ground. it's all that matters. You got to do it before the end of the year. Otherwise, you're not going to have this stadium till 2030.
Right.
Like, how long is this thing going to take?
Right.
Something needs to start in 2025. Otherwise, why did you bring Kevin Warren here? What was the point of getting this all-powerful team president to build a stadium if you're not going to... What have you been doing the last two seasons? Right. 2 years? Right. 3 years? Three.
Well, it's been... They've owned the land for a long time.
They've owned the land for a long time. But Kevin Warren's been here now three seasons.
I also suffer from massive stadium... Bears fatigue. Stadium talk fatigue, but I understand why we're talking about it, because it's the Bears and mm-hmm. it matters. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, wherever they play, lots of people are going to show up and go. But now I do think now it is clearer than ever that they're going to Arlington Heights. I think you know, a redo of Soldier Field, a stadium to the east a little bit or to the south a little bit, I think that's done. I think now we know for sure. Now, the one thing, and nothing was set aside, but I think what the Bears are really looking for as far as help financially from the city and the state and all that kind of jazz are improvements to the roads, infrastructure, that type of stuff. Not actual, like, concrete for the foundation or steel or lights or plumbing. They're looking for things around the stadium to improve and help with that to make congestion not a thing. But I mean, it's just build the damn thing already.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I mean, the problem with this is that the mega development thing is a huge deal, because it basically freezes taxes while you're building this thing. So they need to get that. They need more certainty on the tax cost for them to go ahead with what you're talking about. And that is the key to this thing, that they've lost another legislative session. And it is, you know, again, when you're putting the budget out there and you're putting all the money together for it, the fact that they are ignored in this is significant, and it does impact them. And you're right. I think they're going to wind up in Arlington Heights, but I've felt that way since they bought the property. And that was when Ted Phillips was in Chicago. They've had this property for a long time. So you look at what has been done, and this whole, I don't know that I understand why the flirtation with building on the lakefront, and why was that to just get tax certainty? And if that were to work, would that be worth it, all the time they've lost? Because the other element here is, aren't there tariffs announced on steel coming into this country? I'm just saying, like, you know, this isn't, you're losing money every right. year that you don't get shovels in the ground. And I believe Kevin Warren said there would be shovels in the ground by January 1, right? So is that still on? And if it isn't, well, now you got some splaining to do. Now you got to figure out why that's not the case. So I think it's probably a bigger deal than we're giving it any voice of. But I totally understand the idea of stadium fatigue, because you just and I feel that way with everything that's going on in this town. Yeah. You just want to get to it, get it going. You know, once they get this thing going, they're going to be printing money. I mean, it's going to be
yeah.
a financial windfall, which hopefully will make the team will rise up, and they'll get better through that as well. I mean, it could be kind of a wonderful marriage of the team getting better and the stadium being built. And I think that would be a glorious thing to see, because you want the Bears to be good for a long time. And you need that kind of certainty to get it done.
It's so interesting. Anytime I'm out and people ask me about the Bears, or, you know, they always want to know, number one, how do you feel about Ben Johnson? What's going on with Ben Johnson? Right. Number two, what's going on with the stadium? Always number two. Like, people care deeply about what's, you know, are they going to Arlington Heights? What's the holdup? What? So there is a lot of intrigue and interest for good reason. But it's just, at this point, it's like, all, you know, the updates from Illinois General Assembly. Like, these are things that are just, you got to just deal with it and build the stadium.
No one has any time for that at all.
No.
I understand it. But, I mean, there's another pause to this is all the news is. And it could be a little bit worrisome moving forward, but there's no real breaking news. It's just they didn't get the positive news they were hoping for.
Right.
All right. 312-644-6767. We'll be back with your calls. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.